This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Well, when they talk about great tight ends in professional football, I don't think there's any doubt about it. The first person that comes to my mind is John Mackey. 10 years in the NFL, the Colts 9 seasons, then the Chargers 1, and as I mentioned earlier, he was named the best tight end in the first 50 years of the NFL, a 5-time Pro Bowler and a member of those great Baltimore Colt teams that made numerous postseason appearances in the 60s. John, good evening. Good to have you with us tonight on Sports Byline.
Thank you, Ron.
Let me ask you, as you reflect back on your career at this particular point and look back at what football meant and what it did to you, can you do you have an evaluation that might have been different than what it would have been, say, the first couple years after you had finished playing football?
Well, the first couple of years, I only wanted to play 5. I ended up playing 10. You know, when you first start out playing a sport, you don't know how well you're going to do. And I was very fortunate in that I started my first year, and I started every year all the way up until I retired. And so, you know, as I began to understand the game and to get better at it, then I became more comfortable with it, and I enjoyed a long 10-year career.
The fact that you went to Syracuse, which I think is safe to say is kind of a thinking man's school, you know what I'm talking about. Not all of them can be categorized like that. Did that in any way shape the way you looked at football, as you said, a kind of a thinking man's way of looking at it?
Well, you know, going to Syracuse, not having a passing game, and ending up in Baltimore where they really relied on the passing game was a tremendous transition for me. I had to learn how to run pass patterns. No one knew if I could catch the ball until I was given the opportunity, but I was surrounded by a lot of great players. You had a great quarterback in John Unitas. You had Raymond Berry and Lenny Moore coming out of the backfield, and you had Jimmy Orr, Tom Matty, and we had a great offensive line. What basically happened my first year was that they were double-teaming everyone and let me run free. And then when they found out that I could catch the ball, they couldn't double-team everybody.
So that made it more effective to have you there. In a sense, how did you approach tight end? I mean, was that something that you had always played from high school right into college and right through? Was it a comfortable position for you from the very beginning?
I started as a tight end in high school, and then when I went to Syracuse, they thought I was going to be a running back. They gave me a choice, a second-string halfback playing behind my roommate Ernie Davis, or a first-string tight end. And, of course, any football player wants to start, and I chose to play tight end.
The style of the college game at that time, can you get into that a little bit? Because it is far different today than what it was when you were at Syracuse.
Well, 44 was the big running back, and, of course, you know, even if it was 2 minutes to go, we were going to run 90 yards to score the touchdown. I was more of a blocker than a pass receiver. I think I caught 15 passes in 1 year, and that was like a record. The game was completely different. You know, it was like the old Woody Hayes, you know, you just keep driving. Our basic philosophy back then was that we felt we had 2 first teams on offense and defense, and that we would let the first team go in and play for 3 to 5 minutes. The second first team go in, and we just wear you down. And we would just keep, you know, running those players after you until we wore you down. And by the fourth quarter, something had to give, and usually it was opposing team.
You know, you that senior year, I believe, you had to deal with the fact that Ernie Davis did pass away from leukemia. A lot of people, of course, youngsters don't know the name, but a lot of people do know the Ernie Davis name. Could you talk a little bit about him as a football player, what he was like, and also what he was like as a person?
Ernie, as a football player, I've always saw him as a big Gale Sayers. He was fast and quick. And, you know, Gale was an outstanding runner for the Chicago Bears, and I think he came out of Kansas. Ernie was that same type of ball player, and I think if he had been blessed to play in the NFL, you would have seen that kind of a ball player, but just much larger. As an individual, there was none better. Very quiet, unassuming, very respectful, and he loved people. And he always had a helping hand for the downtrodden or any person that was less fortunate than he was.
Kind of interesting about some schools, John, when you think about there are schools like Stanford which emphasize the quarterback. There are other schools where running backs come out. Oklahoma, of course, has had a fine series of running backs come out of there. Was that the way they recruited? Was it kind of the chain of command that you worked your way into that big fullback spot like Jim Brown and then Ernie Davis and everything else? Was that kind of the symbol of that school?
It was number 44, and I guess all the running backs wanted to either play for, you know, be number 44 or run in the backfield because we basically were, a running team. And, of course, Jim Brown made it famous, and after Jim Brown, you know, then you had Ernie, and then you had Floyd Little, and we had great running backs like Art Baker at fullback and Larry Zonka. I mean, just to name a few, and then it came all the way up to the modern day with Morris, you know, who played for the New York Giants.
Did you play in the that college all-star game in Chicago that they used to always have?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, I played in the last.
The very last
one? We were the last team to beat the pros.
I thought that you were. Take me through that game a little bit.
That was against the Green Bay Packers. They had won the championship and came back to players. Otto Graham was the head coach of the college All-Stars. And we had a group of guys that, I guess, you know, really had no fear. Otto told us how difficult and how strong the Green Bay Packers were. But it really didn't mean anything. Ron Vandekellen was that quarterback. We had some Kermit Alexander was on that team, just to name a few. You know, I mean, there was about 15 to 20 guys that went on to become stars with their own team in the National Football League. And on that particular day, we beat them, I think it was 17 to 15 or something like that.
Did they not take you seriously?
Well, I don't know how they felt. Basically, you know, there's a tendency to think that when the college kids beat the pros, it's because they didn't take us seriously. I think they took us seriously. I think that it was just one of those things whereby near the end of the game, we were close enough to score a touchdown and win.
Was Jack Tatum on that team with you?
No. Jack Tatum came later because the year that he played in the college All-Star game. That was the year that we had won the Super Bowl, and I played against him when he was a college All-Star.
Okay,
I was a Baltimore Colt.
It's coming back into my mind. I've talked with Jack and a couple of times, and you two really got into it. It was a real physical game. He tells me the battle that you two had.
Jack stuck me pretty good. As a matter of fact, I fumbled the ball, but he got knocked out. So it was a fair exchange.
And, John, when you came into the league, was it Weeb Eubank who was the coach with the Baltimore Colts?
No, when I came into the league back in 1963, Don Shula was a rookie coach.
So he was already in, and Weeb had gone off. Was he with the Jets then at that time?
Weeb had gone to the Jets, and my rookie year was Don Shula's rookie year.
What were your first? What was your first impression of Don?
I knew he wanted to win. Very hard-nosed. He might have had a little difficulty in that he was coaching guys that he had actually played with. Other than that, tremendous respect for the man and knew he was a winner. Didn't like the way he talked to me in the beginning, but we ironed that out and played for him for 7 years and enjoyed every minute.
You mentioned about Johnny Unitas, and people refer to him as maybe the best quarterback all time. Break down what he did so well on the field.
Well, you know, he was the general. He called the plays, and if we didn't have it in the game plan, he made it up and drew it on the ground, and we could execute it. He saw everything on the field. He knew how to get you open. He knew every position, what every man did and couldn't do. He always talked to his line to make sure that they were getting the kind of support that they needed in order to hold up those big defensive rushes. And he understood, and he worked, you know, after practice with his receivers so that everything was timing, and he had a primary, secondary, and outlets, and we all knew what to do at the right moment. And if a mistake was made, since all of us could read defenses, we were always taught to go to the open area, and it was up to him to read the play, and he was a master at it.
I have not met a receiver that used to play when you played, and they compare how things are today for the receivers, and they almost shake their heads because, really, they say, you know, you can hardly touch them after they come off the line of scrimmage. Talk a little bit about what type of defenses you did see and what those battles were like against linebacker and also secondary.
Well, You saw a lot of man-for-man coverage. It was controlled by the offensive set, and what we tried to do was to give the kind of set that would create the environment that we wanted to take advantage of. We saw, a lot of split defense and a lot of double teaming and zone. Of course, they could chug you, and they had what they call the bump and run, and in some cases they would knock you down. You'd have to get back up and get into the play. Today, they're protected a little more. It's a completely different game, and not only from the standpoint that you're not bumped around as much, but you also find that the quarterbacks today do not call their own plays.
Hold on just a second. John Mackey is with us here on Sports Byline USA. If you care to join us at any time, we'll continue in and talk about his outstanding career in the NFL, and we'll do all of that as we continue with Sports Byline.